What if I told you you can make 20 times the return of a single family fix and flip on your next big deal? Well, it's actually possible. It's possible inside the world of commercial real estate. Say, I'm inviting you to this free challenge. It starts August 15th. It's totally free. It's a 5-day challenge where I'm going to take you and deep dive into the world of commercial real estate, more specifically, capital multiplier properties. What that is, how we identify them. I'm going to show you how to identify them, how to evaluate them, and how to lock them up risk-free. I'm going to give you all the paperwork to do it. It's totally free. You can sign up to join us at www.20xprofitchallenge.com/realgrit. That's www.20xprofitchallenge.com/realgrit. And I'll see you in the challenge.
What we have found over the years is the evolution of the technology available to people are they do want more information. They do want to be more engaged, especially the younger generation. And therefore, they will embrace this opportunity
sure.
and really run with it.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey everybody, welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. I've got Chip Ridge here with me today. He's the president of Millennial Title. Chip's over 20 years in the industry at this point. He opened his first title company in 2002. And after building that company to a success, he sold it to a regional bank in 2007. In 2015, he opened Millennial Title in Tampa, Florida. It's grown to 11 locations across 23 states. Just last year, he founded, as the owner of Encrypted Estates. It's a cryptocurrency-enabled real estate settlement service to reduce friction, reduce costs, increase security across the settlement process. So it's going to be exciting to talk to him about that. He's got 4 kids outside of work. He loves the golf and horse race when he's not involved in all his kids' activities. So I'm excited to have him here. Chip, how are you?
Oh, great. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited
to have this discussion.
Yeah, I'm excited. We got the opportunity to connect up here because you're doing some really interesting stuff in the crypto world. You know, everybody thinks of crypto as is just some sort of trading platform, you know, how to get rich quick, really. But the backbone of where crypto came in, and there's actually, you know, it was intended with, there's a functional purpose behind it. It's a technology that drives a business, right? And Bitcoin was the first one, really the business of currency, you know, over US dollars or whatever the currency may be. And you're applying that to the settlement practice.
Yeah, and that's a good way to distinguish a lot. We've really, candidly, when we go and talk about what we're trying to accomplish or achieve vis-a-vis the blockchain, we actually don't reference crypto that much because it does bring out a lot of different emotions. And especially with the recency of what's going on in the lending space of crypto, there's just a lot of misconceptions around, you know, what we're trying to do and how we're trying to achieve it. So we're really sold on blockchain as a technology platform and specifically Web3 and some of the enhancements that can bring to our clients from a transactional utility perspective.
All right. So great. I want to dive into that in just a little bit, but let's take me back to the beginning. What was your first entry point into the, you know, into the title industry, into the real estate industry in and of itself?
Yeah, I started in it back early 2000. I used to be in the boat business, so there wasn't like some great connection. Spent about 7 years in the boat business after college. Decided that the old joke was the best way to make a million in the boat business was to start with 3 million. And that wasn't serving me well, wasn't serving my marriage very well either. So I got out of that. I got my master's degree from Vanderbilt in business, and then embarked upon just trying to find a new career. Was interested in real estate. I actually answered an ad in the paper. This back when you actually went and looked in the paper for jobs. Said insurance manager. I was like, well, I know what insurance is, and I can be a manager. And lo and behold, got involved in title insurance with a company called Metropolitan. Then started my own shortly thereafter, and then was lucky enough in 2007 to sell to BB&T Insurance Services, a division of BB&T Bank, now Truist. And then in 2015, decided that, hey, wanted to get back out on my own. So hence, here we are now with Millennial Title.
Yeah, yeah. Take me back to the boat era. What were you doing then?
Oh, gosh. Well, I was traveling a lot. We actually built boats. So we started, we manufactured ski boats, fiberglass ski boats, 18 to 24 foot runabouts. And then I think we actually had a dealership in Des Moines. I need to go way back in my brain to remember that. But because I would travel all around and do dealer support, plant manager. And then we actually started a race boat division. I was younger and more aggressive. Partnered with a guy in Sweden. We built this boat called the Bat Boat, had wings.
Yeah.
We used to do like shootouts in the Lake of the Ozarks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All over the country, poker runs. We did offshore. We actually had an offshore race division. Sounded cool, was really cool, and made zero money. After I scratched that itch and I got out of it, but it was fun. Learned a lot about just managing people, managing myself, and dealing with adversity. So that was helpful, and it made me appreciate what I do today. I can tell you that.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first, a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place, batchleads.io. BatchLeads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. BatchLeads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. BatchLeads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. BatchLeads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month.
Sometimes it's not the, sometimes it's the thing that gets you to the thing, right? That's really, right. That's really the takeaway. That's why I wanted to go there with that.
100%.
Yeah. Talk to me about title insurance. I think there can be a conception that they're all the same. Just pick one. Just pick a company. They're all the same. They all do the same thing, all do the same product. And I suppose the same thing could be said about just any type of insurance, if you will. But talk to me about what makes it not the same.
Yeah. No, great question. And you know, at the core level, the actual product itself is pretty binary in the sense that most coverages are very similar to what you're getting. However, you know, how it's delivered, the service and the support that you get in the process. I mean, that's really where we try to distinguish ourselves is being able to provide what we like to call exceptional level of client and interface. And so when you go to the closing table, your experience with our team hopefully is one not of, oh my gosh, what am I doing? Who am I supposed to be talking to? And a little bit of that sort of red, like the peek behind the curtain type deal. We really want you to come to the closing prepared, excited, confident, all of those things, because we really truly believe in our heart of hearts that the home buying experience is one of the key mark experiences you're going to have, whether it's your first time, second, third, fourth, hallmark experiences. And we want to make sure it's an exceptional one. And so that's really what drives us. You know, that's our passion is around, you know, making that experience, whether it be vis-a-vis the flexibility that we offer our buyers and sellers, whether it be the engagement we offer our referral partners, technology platforms that we offer. I mean, there's a whole slew of opportunities to really enhance the experience. And we want to take every opportunity to do that. Now, at the end of the day, sometimes that's more challenging than others, but we do really strive to try to distinguish ourselves.
How you have 11 locations. How many people does that make up then for you guys, roughly?
Yeah, we're a bit unique. A lot of our locations, except there for our Tampa location, which is our home base, and our Louisville location, which is Kentucky, which is where I'm seated. Most of our operations are two people, smaller operations. Yeah. And the reason we do it is we do a lot of the back-end administrative work out of a centralized platform.
Sure. Yeah.
So And so we're going to continue to grow. We just opened a small office in Santa Rosa, Florida, which is on the panhandle. We're getting ready to open one in St. Louis, Missouri. And we're in discussions to open one in Alabama. So our sort of model, and this is an interesting time to be doing some of this just because of the headwinds and the mortgage environment. And candidly, we're seeing a lot of, we're seeing some shift in the real estate space. Pricing wise, it is definitely moving from what would be the last 2 years, a very big seller's market, into a market they're trying to figure out. And usually that takes a little bit of time, but we're big on hub and spoke. So we want to have small spokes out there where we have really good people in the field, and then we can build a lot of our back end so we get more efficiencies, and hopefully we can share that with our client.
How do you manage that culture in order to properly do that? Because it sounds to me like you have to rely on those people on the ground, you know, small teams to execute at a high level in order to make that thing really run well.
Yeah, no, great point. It is. I mean, and it's hard because the other challenge that we have, and you're in Des Moines, Iowa, and I would share with you that what works in Louisville, Kentucky, or Cincinnati, Ohio, or another market, Dallas, Texas, is not the same as in your market. So we have to recruit in local expertise, and then we have to give them the tools, and those tools might look different in that marketplace. So from a cultural aspect, it's all about, honestly, recruit and retain. So it's about us finding the right people that match up with our passion for service and being really what we like to call the millennial way. And that isn't sit at home on a computer in the basement and play video games. That is get out there and really get in front of the client and all of our partners involved in the process and make it as great of an experience as we can within the confines of what we do. But back to your question, it's really about communication, support, training, and just making sure people have the resources they need to go out and do their jobs every day.
Yeah, no, it's easier said than done, is it not? When you get all those people involved, and certainly when you're working in as multiple locations as you are.
Yeah, and candidly, it doesn't always work out. And that's what we have to accept that. We do everything in our power. But as I always say, the title business, or real estate for that matter, just isn't for everyone. It's not what you see on the TV shows. It's not as glamorous. And as we're not all driving around in Maseratis and have four cell phones and a driver, it's a grind, and it's 24/7. And a lot of times, honestly, that doesn't necessarily suit everyone. And we're okay with that. And sometimes, we just accept that.
Yep. How would you best describe, on a shift to technology, how would you best describe the difference between cryptocurrency and, and the underlying technology that powers it?
Great question. So, and one that comes up a lot, because there is a lot of what I like to call people interface them, and not necessarily always in the correlation that we would agree or we see. So the blockchain is the ledger system. It's actually the baseline technology for what we see as a really big opportunity within the space to use that technology. And it's well documented that if you were going to say, what is a great use case of the blockchain technology, recordation is a great use case, because it is built for immutable, so it can't be changed without proper parties involved. Yep. It is very transparent, so that if you want to discover or do a records research, it is decentralized. So it also bears fruit that it's not a closed index or something like that can be sort of manipulated and so forth, or are kept from other people. So it has all these great components, and that's the blockchain technology layer of it. On top of it, when you talk about cryptocurrencies, typically they're interfaced with either some type of payment protocol. They might be attached to some type of ecosystem program. Gaming is a big piece of that. Yep. Everything that we are looking at and that we have really spent a lot of our energy and time, and this isn't an advertisement by any stretch or even an endorsement, but we're really focused on the Ethereum layer, which is a base layer of the tech stack. And the reason being is that, at least at this very moment in time, and there are competitors, and there, I'm sure people who listen to this, hopefully, that would argue and say, wait a minute, that's Solana is better, Avalanche, what have you. But Ethereum, in our eyes, has the most robust network currently that's being supported within that. So it's almost like, maybe not the best analogy, and I'll get a lot of pushback on this, but like a Google on top of the internet, in the sense of that, where do people go for their information regarding search? Used to be maybe Yahoo way back in the day, or whatever, I guess way back AltaVis, I'm trying to pull that, but Google and Ethereum to us is sort of like that. So if I'm going to start to take deeds and put them on the blockchain, most likely going to be working with Ethereum blockchain. And the reason being is because it's the most robust and it's the most widely supported. I mean, so for us, such a big venture, we would prefer to go to a major network that could support that.
How do you envision, somebody, put us in the future, the blockchain is running, all transactions are getting settled on the blockchain. Walk me through what a transaction would or could or should look like in the future when that transpires.
Yeah, I mean, and this is probably an universe far, far away, but sometimes as you travel a lot faster than you think. And I mean, there's a lot of case studies around it that would support that thesis. But you could get to the point where if I had a property, I could essentially create a smart contract with a buyer and use that smart contract to transfer the property. Now, I'm jumping from the dugout to a grand slam home run with where I'm going with that. And I would even suggest there's still going to be some intermediaries and there's going to be some benchmarks along that roadmap, because there are people out there, and I've talked to them, technologists, and we get into sort of this back and forth that, really do believe, hey, I should be able to, on my phone, transfer my property to you. And my point would be, well, that sounds all great, but we're not trading pizzas. We're trading properties, real property with, it's a very sizable transaction. And the core of them, over 80-something percent of them, also involve some type of third-party financing.
Right.
So that's going to circumvent some of that Uberizing the process. But I do see a place where you could have the titles on the blockchain. You could be working with different type of vendor partners that would take you through the process, and that you could really use smart contracts to make the settlement piece of it really efficient and a whole lot less layers of some of the paperwork that is currently out there. And at the end of the day, a more secure process with a much more efficient cost structure. Because right now, if you embed in real estate transactional costs with the agents, plus the financial piece of it, plus the titling piece, it's almost 10% of the transactional cost. So I think you could cut that down by a factor of maybe 50, 75%.
You should. It seems to me like if you're able to get to that point and expedite everything or execute everything through the blockchain, all the titles there, you should be able to do a title research, have a commitment. Everything should be able to condense in time.
Yes.
Things should be able to move a lot faster if one chooses to do it faster, right?
Yes. Yeah. And I would suggest a lot more fluid and depending, it always comes back to the parties involved in the transaction. How engaged do they want to be? How much information do they really want? And that's a push and pull. But I think what we have found over the years is the evolution of the technology available to people is that they do want more information. They do want to be more engaged, especially the younger generation.
Yeah.
And therefore, they will embrace this opportunity and really run with it.
All right, got a curveball for you. Ready?
Okay.
There's 50 states in the country. There's only one state which does not utilize title insurance. You knew it.
Hey, for 500. Yes. Yes, it's a very.
I'll take a true daily devil, Alex.
Yeah. It's a full disclosure. We've never transacted in Iowa for that very reason. If we were going to do something in Iowa, we'd have to partner with a law firm in Iowa. Yeah. And because of the way that they're as what torrents it, the whole system is very different.
I'll use abstracts and use, yeah, use title opinions. I'll issue the attorneys did a very good job controlling the,
yes,
the votes to make sure, yeah, title insurance did not come in.
Where I think people get a little tripped up around, you know, how do you eat this elephant being, how do you get these deeds on the blockchain? Mm-hmm. Because there's so many different communities, municipalities, county clerks. I mean, here in Kentucky, yeah, we have, I think, 5 or 6 that I know of that have zero digital capabilities currently. Yeah. Yeah. And they're all being mandated to get digital within the next, I think it's 5 years, and the money's already been allocated. Now it's just getting them to do it. But there is such a differentiation. However, what I would suggest is that you can still, because of there is such a difference, that the people in the title community still will play a role of how to navigate some of this sort of new wave, as I like to call it, next generation of records keeping. And especially if we go into the blockchain, we could play a big role in that if we choose to do it.
I think you may lead it. Certainly, it's not going to be a government or a county who's going to lead how transactions get facilitated. To your point, you got a bunch of counties, we do too, that are not digital. You know, we do some things in other states too. And I know there's major counties in other states. They're not digital. Yeah. Old school. Literally, you got to go, you want a deed, you got to go down, request it, and they have to go physically pull it.
No. It's crazy. It's insane. When I first got in the business, I drove around with a lady for a month. That was like my first peek in. I was like, I should have never answered that ad in the paper. But she's pulling them down. Dust is flying all over it. Yeah. So I was like, wow, what is this?
So where I was going with that setup from Iowa is we use these abstracts, literally, you know, 2 inches thick, this giant thing that holds a transaction history back in some cases. You know, they got to go back 50 years, but in some cases back literally 100 years. And they got to go and they have to get updated by an abstractor, and that abstract then in turn sends it to an attorney who then does a title opinion. And then we can get to a point where we can close or have to address title objections. That is with the technology that you're in the leading edge of, you can see that whole transaction taking place very differently in the future. And things aren't getting slower. They're only getting faster.
Yeah. And especially if you're able to, you know, get that title up to where it's been validated.
Correct.
And the other thing that people, I think, don't really appreciate, and it's happening at a much higher scale now just because of the ability of technology, is the amount of fraud that is going on at the recordation level, whether it be in the deed transfer aspects or in the mortgage release aspects. And so the blockchain actually creates a great tool to obstruct against it. It's the real title lock. You know, there's those title lock.
I see you know how bad it is when they run infomercials, right?
Yeah.
Because little old ladies are getting their properties stolen from them, right? Because of one can do on the title side. But you're right. This would be the true title lock.
Yeah. Because to do it, you still have to have a what they call multi-sig. So the owner of that on the blockchain has to recognize and verify the transfer. At this point, I could go down and sign a piece of paper and file it with the clerk's office. And if the clerk's office, they don't know.
And you don't even have to produce an ID to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's some real value enhancement opportunities there. So we're excited, but we also understand and we're realistic that it's going to take a lot of heavy lifting, and hopefully we can get some other advocates on board with us to really push this thing forward.
Tell me about yourself personally. It seems to me like you caught the entrepreneurial bug at an early age. What was the genesis of that?
You know, I don't know. I was, not to get too Freud with anybody, but, you know, I was raised by a single mom and just sort of we used to always joke, raised by a village, and sort of was thrown in to, you know, go out and if you need to get somewhere, do something or get this going. It wasn't always just, hey, it was there. It was sort of be resourceful and not in a, it wasn't in a mean streets of whatever way. You know, I grew up here in Louisville, Kentucky, and it's pretty good. It's probably similar to Des Moines. It's a nice place to raise a family and fairly, you know, I would consider a fairly stable environment if there's even one of those these days.
Right.
But was always sort of looking at, you know, whether it be a lawn service, paper service, whatever, you know, how do you get out there and sort of hustle and create opportunities for yourself? And then, got lucky and had some really good mentors in my life along the way, whether it was in sports or at school. And they encouraged me to continue to challenge myself and sort of keep at least somewhat on the straight and narrow. And that helps for sure.
Thank you for that. Let's do this. I want to move on to the final segment, what I call four for impact.
Four for impact.
Your favorite quote, work hard, play hard. What about that resonates with you most?
Play hard. No. that resonates with me is that life is short and we need to appreciate it. And just the ability to not take oneself too seriously, but also to hold oneself accountable. I think at the end of the day, you know, we've got to, you know, sometimes I have to just look in the mirror and say, hey, I always joke and people think I'm being coy or whatever. And when I say my biggest competitor is myself, you know, when I'm looking around the landscape, it's like, oh, why are you so open with that person? They're in the same business as us. I said, if they can do it better than me, then they're going to beat me. So I've got to hold myself accountable.
Yeah. What do you think holds most investors or most business owners back from hitting their personal next level?
And this is something I really struggle with. I think it's just letting go of certain aspects. I'm in a Vistage group, leadership group, and the one biggest takeaway that I've gotten out of it, I've only been doing it for a little bit over a year, but the early takeaway, and though I'm sure there'll be many, many more, is I have to get out of the way of the business. And so that's been challenging, especially for people's entrepreneurs and these smaller businesses where you're chief bottle washer, you're so used to doing everything. Yep. Sometimes it's hard to not do everything.
Yeah, but you become the bottleneck, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. I've got a question for you. Are you enjoying the podcast? I sure hope you are. And if you are, may I ask your personal favor? Would you mind going to iTunes and leaving a written review and a 5-star review? If you do that, send me a screenshot to my office. I want to send you back a list as a thank you. It's a list of the top 20 best lists to market to in order to find motivated sellers. This list has been curated by my office over years of direct marketing to sellers. This will either shortcut your path to finding the best list to start marketing to, or it's sure to add to what's already working. You can send that screenshot of your review to marketing@realgritpodcast.com. That's marketing@realgritpodcast.com.
So
outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
Right now, my four kids, they're all of age, getting in different sports. I've got triplets actually that are 12. I got one that's playing a lot of soccer. I got one that's playing a lot of golf. I've got one that plays field hockey. And then I've got an older daughter who is going to be a rising sophomore in high school. And she is really into field hockey, but just really trying to make sure that I'm involved with what they're doing and hopefully providing them the support and guidance that they need out of me as a parent. And it doesn't always work, but we're still working on it.
They will keep you busy, huh?
Yeah.
What's your favorite way to make an impact in the community?
Big on home ownership. It's a passion of ours. Yeah. So, and it's not just because we're in the title business. I truly believe I read a book and that escapes me the name. It's called Evicted. It was by, should have brought the note on that, but I read it about 4 years ago and it really made a huge impact on me. It was a case study. It was a gentleman went to, I think his name was Adam Grant, if I'm not mistaken, went to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and spent a year embedded in the housing authority in Milwaukee. And he just followed families that were bouncing around. I've owned real estate a long time, consider myself pretty, lucky and blessed, if that's the way to describe it, on what I've been able to have on that. And it changed my perspective. It was, I went from very landlord minded to, wait a minute, this is really the wrong way to look at the housing epidemic. We need to look at home ownership. That's key. And not just in the sense of we just need more homeowners. What we need is we need the communities to have community-based home ownership. So some of these more challenged areas, when they have 12, 15% home ownership rates and everything else is rental, it just makes for a very, I think, discombobulated community. And so I'm very passionate about how.
Yeah, there's certainly a correlation between homeownership and personal responsibility.
100%.
Taking personal responsibility.
Security, the whole nine yards. Yeah. I mean, it's like at the rock bed. I mean, you could say policing's here, but if people own their homes, their likelihood to go out and commit certain aspects of what have you is lower. Just correct. As factually, nobody can debate me on that.
No, that's correct. Yep. Hey, if people want to follow you, they want to connect, they want to learn more about your business, they want to talk about a business and perhaps how they can connect with you there, where can they find it? What should they do?
Yeah, great. And this has been awesome. Really appreciate it. Chip Ridge, I'm on LinkedIn. That's probably my main social platform. I feel like that one is the most, for me personally, it's the most comfortable. I mean, I'm on Instagram and Twitter and some of those other spots, but LinkedIn is where I really put my emphasis around business and matters and things of that nature. And then our website is millennialtitle.com, two L's, two N's. And then my email is chip@millennialtitle.com. And I'm always happy to talk real estate with people. If somebody's got a passion project, if they're into blockchain, as it relates, full disclosure, I'm not a programmer. I don't pretend to be one on TV, but I am very big in use case and I'm very big into developing, you know, ways to really leverage the technology in a real world application.
No, it's exciting. Well, it's been great having you on, Chip. It's fun to hear where you came from and how you took a skill set in one industry, applied it to another, and really have thrived. And I'm excited to, we'll have to stay in touch so we can have you back on, because I'm excited to hear, you know, how the blockchain technology, and you think it's still in its infancy, really, about how it 100%. Continues to grow and change really technology as we know it. It's going to be exciting to see how it impacts the real estate world.
Yeah. And one last plug, we are in the midst. So this is sort of breaking news, and you're probably one of the first that we've shared it with it. But so Millennial has created millennialnft.io, and we're going to be launching a product for our clients where they will get their, if they so choose, they can opt out, but their deed will be put on the Ethereum blockchain. And they also will get an NFT associated with that. Now, there's no legal utility, so I want to be very upfront and disclosure on everybody. But we're working with a potential metaverse partner that could get them a gateway into the metaverse. And we're also working with some other vendors on things such as home warranty appraisals and so forth that they could embed within that NFT that could really create some utility down the road for homeowners. So we're excited, and we think it's a baby step in a very long race.
Yeah, no, it's a continued awareness of what's happening and really what's to come. There's a whole bunch of things that I think are getting a lot faster and a lot less expenses as you've indicated.
Exactly.
Chip, I appreciate you taking the time.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. This has been awesome, Neil. Really appreciate it.
You bet. Hey, for everybody here, Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons, reminding you that real estate requires real grit. See you next time.
If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest, instinctively you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.
What if I told you can make 20 times the return of a single family fix and flip on your next big deal? Well, it's actually possible. It's possible inside the world of commercial real estate. Say, I'm inviting you to this free challenge. It starts August 15th. It's totally free. It's a 5-day challenge where I'm going to take you and deep dive into the world of commercial real estate, more specifically, capital multiplier properties, what that is, how we identify them. I'm going to show you how to identify them, how to evaluate them, and how to lock them up risk-free. I'm going to give you all the paperwork to do it. It's totally free. You can sign up to join us at www.capitalmultiplier.com. 20xprofitchallenge.com/realgrit. That's www.20xprofitchallenge.com/realgrit. And I'll see you in the challenge.